Welcome to the Cutter's Notch podcast, hosted by author Michael DeCamp and his family. Recorded in the Cutter's Notch studios, this podcast explores anything related to creativity. You'll find interviews with creative people, such as authors, artists, and performers, as well as friendly banter about any number of topics. Turn up the volume, listen, and catch up on what's happening in Cutter's Notch.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Cutter's Notch podcast. I am your host, Michael DeCamp, and I am here with my co-host.
Hi, it's Nancy DeCamp.
So we have with us the dynamic duo of creativity, Teresa Beasley.
Yes.
And Alan Wills. Did I say that correctly?
Yes.
And I'm so glad you said it correctly.
Good. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah,
you don't, we're starting off on the right foot.
We don't want Alan Mills or Alan Bills.
I tell you, so many times I get Willis. It's like, I understand why.
It's not like 30 letters. It's
But all the L's and I's is right there. So everybody say Willis. So yes, sure.
But I got it right. So I get points.
You do. Yes. You get points. Yes,
you
Mike.
Get points.
You got to put a ding in there.
And we'll get into the discussion around what kinds of creative things that they're into. And it's more than one.
Yes.
It's several things. So we're going to have a little fun with this conversation. But we'll get into that after we do our creative indulgences. Nancy, yes. What's your creative indulgence this time around?
So this time around, I'm going to share about a book that I'm reading. And one of my daughters gave it to me for Christmas. She had not read it. I thought she had. She told me she hadn't, but then I had forgotten. But it's called The Red Queen by Victoria Aveyard. So Victoria, not sure how to say your name if you're listening.
Oops. You got Wills right.
Yeah. right?
Come on the podcast and correct her, please.
Yes, please do. But it's one of those young adult kind of genre, which I tend to enjoy from time to time. But the synopsis is that Mare Barrow, that's the name of the lead character, her world is divided by blood, those with red and those with silver. Mare and her family are lowly reds, destined to serve the silver elite whose supernatural abilities make them nearly gods. When Mare accidentally discovers a power of her own she didn't know she had, the Silver King is forced to hide the impossibility of her power and pretend she's a long-lost silver princess betrothed to one of the sons, and so on and so forth. So,
dun.
Yeah, I'm about a fourth of the way in, and I'm enjoying it. It's interesting.
Oh, cool deal.
So that's my indulgence for the moment.
Well, my indulgence is an update. So I
think he hasn't finished it.
Yes, so. I did. I just finished it this morning.
Oh, you did this morning, right?
That's why I'm doing an update.
Okay.
So if you've listened to the podcast much the last couple of years, there's been a couple of times when I've got stuck on really thick books.
Yeah.
And it took me a long time to finish them. And this time I started reading the new book by Stephen King called Fairy Tale. And it's about 2.5-3 inches thick, hardcover. Yes. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is going to take me half a year to read it. No, I finished it this morning. In fact, Nancy
That's
went
less
out
than
for
a month.
Yeah, less than a month. Yeah, I think I finished it in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So it was less than a month. It was Nancy went out to attend a baby shower this morning, and I said, I'm going to read here for a little bit, and then I'm going to go clean up.
I came home, and I'm like,
I'm still sitting there.
You've not moved an inch.
Well, I might have moved an inch.
And here I was bragging to people that Mike's at home doing a bunch of stuff. You
know? Yeah, well, and he was at home reading.
See, she lies about other things, too. So I finished Fairy Tale.
And what's your take on it?
It is my new favorite Stephen King novel.
Really?
Really?
Yes. My new favorite. You know, I have read quite a few. I've not read all of Stephen King's writing.
A lot.
And sometimes I find him to be a little bit over the top with language, which I don't enjoy as much. This had some, but it wasn't over the top.
No words at all?
It's a book. It has full words.
Well, you said language, so.
Bad language.
Oh, okay.
So.
Stuff that you had to edit out.
Yeah. Yeah, stuff I'm not going to use on the podcast, although we have had a couple of F-bombs drop into a couple episodes by somebody. But okay. We won't go into that.
We're not going to say that.
But Fairy Tale's a good book. And it basically it's like taking a bunch of the old fairy tales and kind of creating a where did they come from source? And turns out that there's this tunnel under a shed in this little town in Northern Illinois. And this teenage boy inherits it from a neighbor who passes away, and he has to go down in the tunnel. He goes down into the tunnel and finds a whole other world
under the tunnel.
Under the tunnel. And
Illinois. I just knew it.
Yeah, Illinois.
Who would have thought?
There's a lot of things you can say about Illinois, but I didn't know that there was a tunnel to another world in Northern Illinois. Wow. I just thought it was another world. You know, that's all I thought. But at any rate, Fairy Tale is my new favorite. I think I've had a number of other books of his that I really, really enjoyed, including Salem's Lot,
right,
and The Shining, and The Shining
sequel. Some of the classic.
This one is my new favorite.
Interesting.
Yeah, wow. Absolutely.
And so I finished it. Be prepared for that to be a movie.
I have no doubt that it probably will. Hopefully they'll be able to do it justice.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing with some of his works, is the movies haven't really done them justice.
Yeah, so
Even the movies, The Shining with Jack Nicholson's great movie. Mm-hmm. But when you compare it to the book, it didn't really line up well.
Yeah,
it was a great work of art in its own.
Right.
But as far as being a reflection of the book, it wasn't as good as maybe the TV. There was a TV miniseries.
Yeah.
Yes. On The Shining a few years later that actually was pretty close.
I actually preferred that one.
Yeah, really? Me too.
I thought it was like when the shrubbery started moving and then he was on the swings. That gives me chills. I'm getting chills now because that part is like, oh my God.
Yeah, I thought it was just because I was cold, but yeah, I was kind of feeling it too. So, yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I agree with you. So how about you guys? What's your creative indulgence that you can share with the audience?
I've been sitting here trying to think of one because I get distracted so quick. Yeah. I would say my favorite thing right now is I found, just flipping the channels, this show called Drop Dead Diva, where this girl has a car wreck and she ends up in the body of this lawyer, and she basically has to take over this lawyer's life. And she's a valley girl, bougie type girl,
not the all high about intellectual business person.
Yes. Yeah. And she's very bougie, and she is in this body of this plus size lawyer that's totally different from her. And she kind of like takes over her life.
Oh,
and
wow.
It's all these episodes. And it reminds me a lot of Ally McBeal.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That show.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
But I started watching it just flipping through the channel. And now I'm like stuck because I keep binge watching it.
All right. Here's your chance to educate me. Bougie. What is bougie?
Uppity.
Bougie is a person that's very uppity. They're all about their appearance and what they have.
Oh, okay.
Higher.
And they look down on people that don't have.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so we call them bougie.
Well, if you stopped with appearance, that might have appealed to me, but you know.
Yeah. Yeah, so we call them bougie.
Okay.
So that's how this character is in the show. But then she jumps into this body of a plus size lawyer.
Is she bougie as a lawyer?
No. The show is about her coming down to earth.
Yeah.
You know, realizing that materialistic things and being the center of attention is not always the best thing. So she ends up in this lawyer that's more calm and is all about, you know, winning her cases and, you know, fighting justice for people.
Sure.
So it kind of, and one of her friends, nobody knows that she's this other girl because one of the lawyers in the actual law firm that she's working in, the girl that died was actually his fiance.
Oh.
So, which causes a whole nother dynamic in the show. Only her guardian angel knows who she is and her best friend knows who she is, but nobody else does.
Right.
So it's just funny watching her interact with this boy that she's in love with, but can't tell him that she's his Debbie.
Her guardian angel is hilarious, by the way.
Yes.
You have to check that out.
Yeah, it's such a funny show, but I just kind of stopped on it one day and started watching it, and now I just can't stop watching it.
Yeah.
Now I'm into it. Can't stop watching it. It's really funny, though.
What channel does it come on?
I think it's on channel 6. I always watch it on Hallmark Movies and Mystery.
Okay.
Which on our TV is like channel 1366.
Yeah.
But okay. It's the Hallmark. Yeah. And it comes on there. So that's where I've been watching it.
It's part of the Hallmark family of.
Yeah. Okay. And these are like the repeat of the season. I don't even know if there's still a.
If they still make
season,
it, yeah,
if they still make it, but I'm like catching up because I just found it. So
but you're loving it,
but I love it. I even reserved the DVDs at the library.
There you go. There you go.
Really good.
Right, start all over.
Too fun. Well, Alan, what about you? What's your creative indulgence recently?
Well, going back to the basics, I'm a huge Batman DC fan. So
I am Batman.
I cannot wait to the Flash movie comes out. It's going to be amazing. But I've been going back to the basics. I have Teresa bought me for Christmas some time ago the Justice League collection DVDs. It's like literally every last one of them on there. But I can't watch them at work. Mm. So it was at HBO Max. We have so I watch it over my phone during downtime. Sorry, boss. I watch it on there on downtime.
We won't tell him.
Yeah. But it's only three seasons, but it's like a whole bunch of episodes. And I've just been watching it over and over again. So I'm back on season one now, like episode four, you know. So, and I'm always on a Friends binge. I'm always watching.
Yes.
So when I get off from work, after I'm exercising or I'm doing like my band's resistance and stuff like that, I have Friends playing.
Too fun.
When I go to bed at night, I have Friends playing.
You know, it's funny you talk about Friends or like sitcoms that are done.
Yeah.
We recently had Seinfeld on and we were just laughing out loud. It's like
two or three episodes.
How quirky that one was, right. You know? It's fun to go back and to revisit some of those.
Yeah.
Friends has got to be my favorite sitcom of all time.
Really?
Yes.
No one, and I'm making this declare right now. Nobody knows more Friends facts than I do.
Oh, so if you need a partner on trivia night, call Alan.
Yes.
Is that what we're saying?
Yes. I got you.
All right.
I even know what Chandler does for a living.
I enjoyed Friends. I enjoyed Friends, but I'm a Big Bang Theory guy. Mm-hmm. That's my... it's on every evening. It's syndicated here. You know, folks, if you're listening to this in Montana, I don't know if it's syndicated there, but it's syndicated here. Yeah. And it'll have a Big Bang Theory episode followed by a Young Sheldon episode.
Mm-hmm.
And when if I don't fall asleep, I will watch both of those. I work all day and then I have dinner and then I fall asleep and then I wake up.
Yeah.
And then I do some project or something, and then I go to bed and sleep again.
Yeah.
So, and start all over again.
Until the dog gets you up.
Until the dog gets me up in the wee hours of the morning.
Well, enough about our shows and our dogs. But
Wait a minute. I wanted to ask Alan something.
Okay. Go ahead.
So you're a DC fan.
Yes.
Yeah. So you like the DC universe. Mm-hmm. So what'd you think of Dwayne Johnson's run as Black Adam? What'd you think of that movie?
So, I thought this movie was decent. If out of five stars, I'd give it a 3.5, 4. I don't like how he bullied his way in doing stuff, but I think he still did a good job. I think they should listen to him because obviously it's what the fans was loving. As far as spoiler alert, at the end of Black Adam, you had Superman and everything else in there, just like Wonder Woman is in the Shazam movie, you know, and she was supposed to be also being the Flash and, you know, all of it connected and everything. And I think his vision was, exactly what we wanted as DC fans, you know, but Gunn comes in and I understand where James Gunn is coming from. You know, Henry Cavill's like 50 or close to 50, somewhere like that. Ben Affleck is in his 50s. So to try to get them to continue to play these roles, obviously it's going to be a lot on their bodies because of all the stuff that they're doing. But even The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, he's up there in age. But like I said, I understand where James Gunn is coming from, but I like their way.
I know Henry's not going to be Superman anymore.
Right.
I guess Ben Affleck's not going to be Batman anymore.
Right.
Obviously, we got a new Batman that just came out last year, which I thought was pretty good, by the way.
It was.
But it's like, what is up with changing the actors every two episodes?
And
it's
that's
like,
why
super. Marvel, how many different Spider-Men have we had?
Exactly,
now?
I know. Right?
But that's why Marvel is dominating, because they get them early on, and their contract
carrying
is like,
them through.
This is what this is the plan. You're going to either going to be a part of all of it or none of it.
None of it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I think that's what Zack Snyder was trying to do with this. And it's also a rumor that Zack Snyder has a contract with Netflix. So he's going to have his own DC universe.
Oh.
So I don't know how true that is. I think it will be really cool. But even then, like, what all the other people? Now, like Jason Momoa, who was really awesome as Aquaman.
Oh, yeah. I thought you did a fine job there.
It's rumored that he's going to be playing Lobo, which if a lot of DC people, you know, he's like one of those weird, he's an anti-hero, but it's like the Justice League people don't like him because he's too out there. Mm. You know, he don't mind killing people, but you know, they don't want to kill people, especially Batman. You don't want to kill him. You want him to face justice. But then I can keep going on and on and on, because like I said, I've been watching this series, this Justice League series, plus reading the comics that I have at home too. But
we could do a whole podcast just talking
on
about
that. Yeah, probably. Yeah,
absolutely. I just really think I hope Zack Snyder does work that out with Netflix to have multiple universes, just like with James Gunn doing the DC thing. I can't remember the guy's name off the top who did the Batman last year. He's going to have his own universe as well. So we need to start kicking Marvel's butt and getting back to where we were. Now, I tell you this, DC has the absolute best animated movies. Marvel has fantastic live action movies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm always going to be DC, but you know. And Christian Bale is the second best Batman. Ben Affleck is the best Batman.
I thought Ben Affleck did a great job of his Batman, but my all-time favorite Batman is still
Michael Keaton.
I'm right there with you.
And my all-time worst Batman.
Oh, please say Val Kilmer.
George Clooney.
Nobody likes George Clooney.
I
thought George was pretty cool.
George is great on him on ER.
Roseanne, he was on Roseanne too.
Yeah, but, all right.
But that's the thing, though. I thought the reason why he fit, because during his time he was Batman, he was that laid-back, cool guy. You know what I mean? That suave, debonair guy. So I thought his personality worked perfect at that time in his career and his life to play, because it's really hard. You got to understand there's two different characters, Bruce Wayne and Batman. They're two different people. And you got to have somebody to be able to play both.
So a lot of creative indulgences going on around this table. But let's transition at this point and let's talk a little bit. And we'll go ladies first. Teresa, okay. Tell us about some of the things that you do in the creative world.
Oh.
Or tell us about yourself or how you got there. What do you want to tell us today?
Well, I, like everyone, I've always been a fan of writing short stories, observing people around me, because I've always had that investigative kind of thought process.
Mm-hmm.
So even when I was younger, I used to investigate everything that went on. So I would write little short stories about them. But then we had a house fire and all my lovely stories went away.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Yeah.
So, and I was heartbroken.
Sure.
But then I became a mother. I had my first son when I was 14. So I became a mother. So I was like, okay, once I get my, you know, kiddos raised and everything, then I will be able to go back to the whole writing, publishing, because I've always wanted to be a book. I've always been a book person.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to be an author. So once the kids were grown, start moving out of the house, I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. And I didn't realize how hard it was going
to be. We've learned a lot of that too. Yeah.
You mean writing books isn't easy?
Oh my God, it's so hard. So
that's what they think is so easy.
You think it's easy, but it's not. And the first book that I wrote, I started it back in 2009. I didn't publish that book until 2018 because I started learning about, you know, self-publishing, indie publishing.
Yeah.
And I was a member of a book club and I used to review books for them, write reviews for them.
Mm-hmm.
from different authors that would send their books in. And that's how I started delving into the indie publishing realm. And I was like, okay, I actually can do this. I don't have to go to New York or California to be a publisher. I can just do this myself. So then I started learning everything and started reaching out to different people, interviewing people. And then I finally was able to publish the first book.
Nice.
So
and how which many? Which one was your first?
Oh yeah. My first book was, It Happened to Me. Was the first book. And it was about a teenage girl who was trying to deal with her parents going through things themselves. And then her father is killed. And she's trying to process that, plus trying to deal with her mom, because her and her mom really don't get along. And then some things happen to her that changes her perspective on life. And then I wrote the second book that goes with that one. It's like a duology. And it's about her friend, her best friend, Tiffany. Is the first girl's name is Delilah. The second girl's name is Tiffany. And things that happen with Delilah makes Tiffany jump into the investigative thought process. So she starts trying to find out what happened to her friend. So it's kind of like those two go together.
Interesting.
And then I tried to delve into writing thrillers, because I had this thought that came to me about an Arthur who inherits her uncle's home and estate. And she finds this journal that he left with all these despicable acts that are in it. And she's trying to find out whether he was murdered, you know. She starts investigating that, and she gets into a whole lot of stuff.
Do you like that kind of genre yourself? Like,
yes.
Criminal investigation and such? Oh,
yeah. Yes. I'm a big thriller, mystery. I love solving problems. I love investigating things. I like interviewing and observing others. So I'm always binge watching the ID channel, Investigative Discovery channel. I'm always looking at true crime. I'm a big fan of Murder, She Wrote. I have all the box sets, and I normally binge watch those on the weekends. I'm always trying
to. It's really a big genre. There's a lot of people that are really into that.
You don't realize that. So those three were my pilot books. So now I'm more into still writing my thrillers, but I'm working on a thriller series. It's a young adult thriller series that has a little bit of mystery in it. So I will probably always write in thriller mysteries. I have written romance.
I was going to say, I thought I saw you had a couple of romance books out there. Yeah, I have
a couple of romance short stories that are out, and I've been part of two anthologies that are romance anthologies, but my heart just is always with thrillers.
Thrillers. Okay. Yeah.
Maybe I should try the romance thing. What do you think, Alan? Maybe I should shift over to write romance.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, from the male's point of view, though, right?
Well, yeah. All these romance novels are from the woman's point of view. I mean, we need some romance novels from the men's point of view, right?
Yeah. But there's men that write romance, but they still write it from the women's point of view.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it that way.
That would be funny to see that kind of market. Yes, how many men are going to read manly romance?
Then we can love put the female that. On the front cover with her hair flowing in.
Yeah.
I would love to see you do that, Mike.
Have my hair flowing out back behind me?
No, write a romance book.
I can hear our daughters cringing right now. Dad, no.
Put your shirt on.
I think you can do it.
Encouragement there.
Yeah, a little bit of encouragement.
Teresa believes in me.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Hey, I have to believe in my fellow budding Arthur.
That is one of the cool things that I've observed over the last few years as Mike has published and done book fairs and met other authors is that you guys have a really great supportive community.
Yes.
If anybody finds somebody else who's another author locally, I mean, you guys share tidbits, tricks, things you've learned, you support one another, and it's a really cool vibe.
Yes, we do. Our book community it's a supportive community.
Yeah.
Even when you're scared to do things, you have a lot of people behind you encouraging you to actually do it.
Yeah.
So then you feel like, okay, if they think I can do it, I can do it.
Right. Yeah.
And if you don't know how to do something, you know, there's Everybody's glad. This group that has done it before and knows how to do it.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to shift over here a little bit because we started with Teresa, but we're going to shift over to Alan. Alan, I know your primary thing that you do is not writing books, but you put one out. Yeah. You put a book out too, right?
Really?
Yes. It's called Make Believe. It's what you call it, a novella. It was going to be a short film. It just didn't turn out that way, unfortunately. So I don't want to make it seem like any less hard of writing and being an author, but filmmaking is another beast. It's very different. And trying to get actors, actresses together, locations and things like that. I love the dedication she does with writing and how much she loves reading and things like that. So she was like, well, you know, you've tried several times to make this a film. Why don't you just make it a book? Like, really?
Wise counsel.
Yeah. You know, it's like, really? People think? She's like, I mean, doesn't hurt to try.
Sure.
You know, so, and I did it. People like it. It's about this young lady who receives this music box as a
When you
gift.
Say young lady, you mean really young.
Like, she's
8 years old or something?
Like eight. Yeah. And she gets this music box from her new stepsister. And there's a entity inhabited.
It's inside. Creepy.
Yes.
Is it?
Oh, it's definitely a creepy.
Yeah, okay. All right.
It's an entity that is inhabited inside the box. And she... It terrorizes her and the family.
What is it with small wooden boxes?
I know.
I'm going to tell you, though. I saw this box. I didn't even have the idea for the film. I saw this box, and I'm like, man, this is a creepy box. This box is creepy. And it didn't make any noises or anything like that. You open it up, it had the little velvet. It's actually the one that's on the front cover of the book. It's called Make Believe, and it's available on Amazon. But it's that box that's on the front cover. And I'm like, man, this wouldn't it be creepy if, you know, this was haunted? You know, there was... one of my favorite directors, filmmakers, name is David F. Sandberg, and he and his wife make short films. Mm-hmm. And he has this one called Coffer, and it's about a little box that you have at the foot of your bed, like a footlocker or something rather like that, and it was haunted. And I was like,
see, people like him and people like you. You know, at one point in time, clowns were a fun, kid-friendly thing, and right, now right, they right. scare everybody. Oh, you absolutely. You guys are going to scare everybody about boxes.
Yes. He's terrified of clowns, so.
Right? Anymore, clowns are just, that's the scariest
thing out there. Oh, yeah. I absolutely hate clowns.
I'm convinced that some clown somewhere scared the living daylights out of me when I was a little kid, because my first memory of being afraid of a clown mm-hmm. was a TV commercial, and this clown came up on the TV commercial, and it was just a regular clown, but it literally scared the crap mm-hmm. out of me. And I'm like,
now it's going to be a box.
I have no idea. Now it's a wooden box.
A clown holding the box.
He's got his
clown holding the box. Oh, that's way over the top.
What's the title of yours again?
Make Believe.
Make Believe.
And then mine is Rose in the Wooden Box.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh. So, yeah, it's in my short story collection.
Mm.
And it actually ties into the third novel. But yeah, so we both got this. See, I told you earlier.
You have a connection. We got connection.
Alan and I have a connection.
That's right. I haven't got to that story yet, so don't tell me.
Yeah, don't go there. Don't go there. But writing, you've done one book, but that's not where you really lean into your creativity, is it?
Correct. I am actually a filmmaker, indie filmmaker, and also have a podcast myself. As an indie filmmaker, I've been in it for about 10 years, and mainly doing short films and things like that. I've paused for a moment because I'm focusing on my first feature film. So it's a lot.
Are your films creepy?
Yes.
That's like a
yes.
Yes, they are. It's like
that's good to know.
The first time I watched one was like 3 years ago, and it was like, somebody got snatched in a parking garage. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And it's called Snatched.
It's called Snatched.
Snatched. And I'm like,
oh, goodness.
I'm waiting for
seeing the connection between you two.
I was expecting some sort of hero to come in. I'm like, no, there's no hero in this one.
No.
In fact, I've watched a few of your movies now. I'm still waiting for a hero to show up. Okay. So,
well,
I'm getting the picture now.
Yeah, I can't tell you the end. So the feature film that I'm making is called Jed Kruder. And I can't tell you the end of it. I really want to, but let's just say you'll be happy.
Oh, okay.
Oh, goodness.
All right.
But
I bet it's bloody, though.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And Teresa likes bloody.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You're all about the bloody movies.
I'm all about the blood.
But my short films are more the creepy, spooky, eerie, things like that. But my feature films, yes, it's going to be more of slasher. I'm going to love slasher. So this is the thing. I was born on Friday the 13th. And Friday the 13th at 4:20 p.m. And my favorite horror franchise is Friday the 13th. So, I love slasher movies. I love all genre of movies, but I do love horror. I make films with other people and everything else. I don't care what the genre is. I just love making films. But if I'm making my films, it's most likely going to be horror.
If you get ready to make a movie that's, you know, needs to be casted with like a older white dude with a bald headed, you know, I would love to be in a movie.
And I'm always working on those.
So we know that Teresa got into writing because even as a young girl, always wanted to and a big reader and such. How in the world did you get into the filmmaking?
So you guys are from here. So, right.
I am. He's somewhat here.
I'm from Muncie, Indiana.
I have family in Muncie. I know a lot about Muncie.
There's some creepy stuff in Muncie, I tell you.
I used to go to Muncie to the Ball State parties all the time.
Look familiar?
Yeah. No. I'm going to tell you right now, y'all. Ball State has parties.
Yeah. They had some good parties.
But she didn't know about it. Growing up here, there was a show that used to come on Channel 4 called Samitary.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Know the Samitary stuff.
Love Samitary. And that's what got me. That's what got me interested in horror films. He was the ghoul of like Elvira. Elvira was what was Elvira? Witch or
I think she was sort of a female Dracula.
She was a vampire.
Okay,
yeah. She was creepy.
That's scantily dressed, buxom vampire.
Is there any other?
But yeah, Sammy Turner.
Hopefully not.
Cool. He hosted shows, and I used to literally sit and watch him all the time. So growing up, we weren't allowed to watch horror films, but my dad said, "If you're gonna watch it, you're going to watch it, and you better not get up in the middle of the night trying
to come
to
me and wake me up." Yeah.
But so Samitary will come on, 11:35 after the news, you know, they're going to bed. We were all supposed to be in bed.
Yeah.
And I was sneaking there in the middle of the night, turning on, sit real close to the TV.
Yeah. So the sound was way down.
Exactly.
Yep.
But I would go to sleep. And of course, obviously Pops knew that I was watching because he'd wake up in the morning and the TV's on Channel 4 and I'm sleeping in front of the TV. I was the only one that wasn't afraid to sit and watch this stuff. So Friday 13th, my sister went to the movies with my cousins to go see Friday 13th Part 4. And she was terrified to sleep in her own room. But I'm like, I want to watch. I want to watch. I want to see this stuff like that. Didn't really scare me. You know, even
well,
like
you didn't have any show that just totally freaked you out as a kid?
Exorcist.
Okay. Yeah.
What about you?
That's a Teresa, bad one.
Did you have one that really, since you like all this blood and slash stuff to you?
No, I really didn't have anything to
see. Now,
as an adult, 13 Ghosts freaked me out.
Oh, I love 13 Ghosts. Yes, it is. Yeah.
See, mine's lame.
Yeah,
sure.
Yours is lame.
But it was because I watched it at way too young of an age. Mm-hmm. The Birds.
Yes.
Really?
Yes. And
I'm still freaked out by a flock of birds. Yeah, I'm just, and it's funny because, you know, as my girls, I don't know, they probably were junior high, early high school. And I was like, this was the one that, and I finally showed it to them and they're just rolling, laughing. They were like, this is not freaky, but see,
they
scary,
don't understand
creepy.
Because yeah, back the then, birds. Everybody's so numb to stuff now. But back then, you know, early 80s, late 70s, in that era.
We weren't used to that.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And to be fair, one set of grandparents had a farm and they had a chicken coop. And so grandpa would take me out the chicken coop to collect the eggs, and those birds were nasty. And they would peck at you a little bit and flap their wings and the dust would go. And I did not like that. So I'm like, yeah. And then I see them, you know, killing people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
like, in a movie. Yeah,
no,
so that
I'm
made
not a bird person.
So you're like,
not a bird person.
Now, I got to tell you, though, when you were watching Samitary, it was a few years after I was trying to watch Samitary. So you had the benefit of cable, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I didn't. I lived in Muncie, and I had the benefit of whatever the airwaves were that flew over our heads. Yep. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you're over there, you're trying, and we had 3.5 channels, and the half channel was Channel 4.
Yeah.
So, you know, Friday night, 11:35, we're trying to get Samitary to come on so we can watch the Wolfman or Dracula.
Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Hammer films, you know, whatever the Hammer films were my favorite. And But I'm over there trying, I'm moving the antenna around and, you know, banging on the side of the TV, trying to get it to come in. And you could just get enough to where it wasn't completely grainy.
Fuzzy. Yep.
Yeah. But I was a big Sammy Terry fan.
Oh, yeah. Well. So that's what made us get cable, because we Pops was tired of us putting the coat hanger in there, trying to turn it and stuff like that. Exactly. See, these kids don't know nothing about that now. Dude, it was a struggle.
Yeah, they watch the movies on their phones now.
Yeah. Like, I mean, considering the fact, what was it that you on the TV, it was a U, you had to point it to that and then go to the bottom one and turn that one to get Fox 59 or 23 and stuff like that.
Yeah, but, when I was a kid, Alan, those channels didn't even exist. Man. You know, you had a U. It's like, what's that for?
Wow.
What's that
for? The whole other dial. In Muncie, we had one channel that came up on that dial. It was channel 49, which is WIHPB or whatever. It was the Muncie Ball State University PBS channel.
Oh, okay.
And it's like, there's nothing on there I want to watch. Absolutely nothing. Bob Ross wasn't even on there yet. Oh, so it's like, I was like, this is a completely useless part of the television. So we used the V for the VHS and her VHF, VHF, not VHS, VHF. And we had 6, 8, and 13 and once in a while, channel 4.
Once in a while, 4.
Wow.
So you both have some very creative interests, done some writing, obviously the film. How does that work with you as a couple? Do you fuel? Does the creativity fuel between you, or does it clash between you? Don't hit each other.
It's getting violent over there.
I'm going to tell you right now, I try to provoke her because...
Now I understand the little punch there. Yeah.
Yeah. She's such a fantastic writer, but I'm trying to get her more confident in her writing. She's such a fantastic... Her ideas are amazing. She will not let me film them at all. But there's a series that... it's two of them that I'm taking from her that I want to do so bad, but her writing is so good. And we encourage one another. And I mean, just flipping back and forth, like one day we'll be at work and I'll text her, "Hey, what do you think of this idea?" Or she'll do the exact same thing. You know, "What are you thinking about this?" And I can't express enough how fantastic of a writer she is.
With the creepy stuff.
With the creepy stuff.
Yeah, and I really want to, my goal is to have both of us on a screenplay, you know.
And that's a whole different beast.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Taking the story and the thoughts and breaking it down that way, right?
Because I did do the first draft of his Jed Kruder, the feature film he's working on. I did the first draft of that, and then we just kind of worked together along with the producer to kind of tweak that actual draft. So I have delved into it, and I've written a couple of short stories that he has, not short stories, but short films that he has actually filmed.
Mm-hmm.
Which ones did you write?
I wrote the
Dark Knight. Well, no, you didn't write Dark Knight. That was your idea.
That was my idea. Story. I came up with the story idea, and then he wrote that one. And it featured one of our good friends, Grace.
Mm. Grace.
Shout out to Grace.
Shout out to Grace. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. Fantastic actress.
And then what was the other one I did? I'm trying to think of it.
People. Snatched.
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 Yes.
You're responsible for that one.
Yeah.
I'm still having nightmares about Snatched.
Yeah, and I did Snatched. And he's always trying to get me to write, you know, the screenplays and work with him on screenplays.
I really want her to do some screenplays. Yeah.
But like he said, I'm still trying to get confident in my writing. Mm-hmm. You know, even though I have the 3 books out, you know, it's like those to me are my pilots. So now I'm really, really focusing on craft and, you know, taking courses and learning craft better to where. So, I mean, he does get on me all the time about the confidence of my writing, but.
And Mike, you know, as being an author, how the community is as far as if you mess up on something or if you don't get something accurate, you know, they unfortunately, and it is the exact same way in film too, especially people these days, unfortunately, like to call you out or. Something like that. They've never done it to her, but she's worried about the content that she's writing. You know, she loves young adult books, reading them, and she wants to write for young adults. But the content that she wants to put in there, you know, they say it doesn't fit for young adults. And I say, well, screw it. Just
Just do what you want to do.
Do what you want to do. Do thriller or, all right, do what you want to do.
I think it's because nowadays, with social media the way it is, people don't think young adults do the things that they technically really do.
right.
And so when you bring it out into a book, everybody just like beats you down about it. Because like, they have the certain tropes that they want you to write with young adult. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But our young adults are doing stuff that I didn't even think about doing when I was younger.
Well, right. And I know that through Mike's experience, we learned that even within the publishing world, what they consider to be young adult fits into this template, and what's children's book is this template, and what's adult, or you know, there's another
and romance age group especially above that. Has a template.
Romance has a very tight template on what it is. Yeah. But I guess it's all about.
And if you're right, and you know, some of my work is actually, believe it or not, Abandoned Hope. And, you know, Nozomi's Battle and Reckless Abandon actually is kind of considered a Christian thriller kind of writing. And when I was first putting it out, my agent was like, you know, if you're going to publish this book traditionally, you're going to have to cut this out. You're going to cut that out. You're going to cut this out because there's a certain list of things that you cannot do if you're going to be in the Christian publishing world. So I didn't end up going down that road. And so I didn't need to do any of that. But the interesting thing is that, you know, you can either write what is in your heart and what is what your imagination emotes, or you can write what's in the pattern that will sell.
Right.
And if those two align, you know, what's in your heart and what emotes aligns with the pattern that will sell, then, hey, you know, the big publishers they'll eat you up and you'll sell lots of books. Right. Otherwise you can sell some books and you can write what really matters to you. Mm-hmm. And, the people who really like that stuff will take it and run with it. Right. It's kind of a choice. You know, are you going to write what's important to you and what's in your heart? Or are you going to write what some pattern puts out there? Mm-hmm. I avoid patterns. I don't like patterns.
Yeah. And see, that's where I'm at. I can't go the pattern way. Cause when I do that, then I can't finish. I can't finish the book.
You feel like you're not doing your character's justice. Yeah,
because I feel like it's not. I'm not passionate about it. I can't finish it.
Yeah, you're not feeling it.
Yeah. So I've just been in a struggle.
And that's what I'm saying. Her ideas are so amazing. And I'm not going to say too much about it because I know you don't want me to. But she has this Hunter series that is just beautiful. Yes. Oh my goodness! And I know that she will. That will just put her in the upper echelon of writers, but she's too worried about what people will say about it. I'm not going to say too much.
It's interesting. We had some friends over last night and we were chatting, and one of my friends was talking about different movies or plays that, you know, he'd seen recently and that I've seen and what have you. And we had two very different viewpoints on things. Like one of his was, well, this stuff was not historically accurate. It was within that historical time frame, but this detail didn't happen. And I was like, but it's a movie. Right. You're supposed to suspend your escape and it's not about it's not a science class here.
It's historical
but his point was, but then people take it the wrong, they think, well, this actually happened. And I'm like, you cannot control every little, you know, go teach a class. Don't go to the movies to learn your history kind of thing.
That's true.
But, you know, it was just two very different viewpoints. Mm-hmm. And so I can understand your concern. Well, and
the other thing for you to think about, Teresa, is that you're always going to have somebody who's not going to like your work.
That's true.
I finished that fairy tale book, you know, from Stephen King today. And I went on Goodreads and I gave it the stars that I gave it. And I wrote a little review. Mm-hmm. And you know, I really loved it, so I gave it a glowing review. You know, five stars and glowing review. And I don't give out a lot of five stars. Right. I don't. But this one really, it actually moved me toward the end. And if it moves me, then that's a good thing. And I just was thoroughly entranced. So I wrote this glowing review. And then I opened up and was looking at the other reviews, and there was another one came up. It was like 2 stars. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she said, I got to 82% of this. I got 82% finished, and I didn't care whether I ever finished it or not. I just didn't care about the characters. And it's like, did we read the same book?
Right. Well, and I think that's one of the beautiful things about all the people we've talked to with different creative interests and pursuits is that there is something out there for everybody.
Exactly.
There really is. And just because it's not your cup of tea doesn't mean it's bad.
Right.
Guess who doesn't like my writing? My stories.
From her facial expression. She reminded me of Jim Carrey and Liar Liar when he said, "It was me."
I think Mike is a good writer. I think that he is continuing to develop and doing good. It's just not like, I'm going to be honest.
She's not all about the blood, Teresa.
I'm not about the blood. I'm not about the creepy. You
gotta have the blood.
No. I'll read your romance stories maybe, you know, here. You know, it's like, you know, I'm like, and he knew it. He knew before I read it. He's not going to like this story.
I was hopeful, though.
It was just like my parents, you know, they're, I'm a Christian too, but it's like, they're like really, really Christian. And once I was done with my book, Make Believe, I was like, "Dad, here you go. You know, this is for you." He's like, "Oh, thank you. Awesome." He set it up on his mantle. He got it up on his mantle and everything. And when I see him, I'm like,
"You ain't still read the book." Same place. I do read his books. I've read every single book and every short story. And
she likes the short stories.
I really do like the short stories.
And she likes my Loving Out Loud book, which is my nonfiction book.
Yeah, yeah.
But the Abandoned Hope series, not so much.
Just can't get into it.
I'm like, like I said, it's a big genre. Anytime it's creepy or the criminal investigation and all this kind of stuff, it is big. People are really into it. But I'm like, you know, I can see that on the news. If I'm reading a book, I want to escape reality and I want to feel happy when I'm escaping. So I know that limits me.
You're not going to want to see Jack Gruder.
No, I won't. I support you. I'm proud of you. I will encourage you, but yeah.
She'll still be your friend, but she ain't going to watch your movies.
Yeah, you probably don't want to watch Jack Gruder.
Okay. Thank you for helping me ahead of time. I mean,
just show up and just cover your eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I came up with a lot of those death scenes.
She's not going to like the sounds either, but yeah, definitely.
I'll put my ear pods in. And when it's all done, I'll stand, I'll clap.
Yeah, I just like, in my book, there's got to be a murder. It's going to have to be a little bit of blood.
Yep.
Just a little bit.
Just,
I wonder what it is that, like I said, since it's so good,
I'm trying to tame it.
Oh, you're trying to bring
it
down.
I'm trying to tame it. But like in the journal that I wrote about the Arthur who is, you know, gets her uncle's estate and she's trying to investigate what happened to him. There's a lot of blood. There's some torture in there and everything. So
right, not up your alley, Nancy.
Yeah. So I wouldn't read that either because some of the stuff that her uncle and his friends do is just atrocious. Yeah. But the main character is trying to, she wants to find out what happened to her uncle because her mom kept her away from this particular uncle all her life. And she's trying to figure out that part, but she's also trying to find out why he was killed because she believes he was murdered. So she's trying to figure both of those out. And she's also trying to figure out, well, why did mom keep me away from my uncle all this time? But when she finds this journal, she starts to piece together, oh, this is the reason why mom kept me away from uncle.
So
I always have to have a little bit of torture, a little bit of murder in my books.
I would love to make that a movie, by the way. She won't let me.
No.
She won't let you do
so that. So have you guys always been pursuing your creative side since you've been together? Like, is that something that you recognized?
Oh, I have to tell this.
Okay.
So after we got married, we had been married like a year or so. And he was always talking about, oh, you know, I was Martin Luther King in the play at school and I used to do the background stuff and help with the lightings and the cameras and things. And I was like, oh, yeah, you've always told me that you really like filming, but he would never do anything to pursue filming. Okay. And one day he was sitting pouting and I was like, okay, that is
no.
It.
He was pouting.
Was pouting. Well, nobody told me that I could do that. And nobody told me I could do that. And I don't want to move to New York just to be in film. And I'm like, honey, you don't have to do that. So I went on Amazon. I ordered him a camera, lights, backgrounds, everything. And it's delivered to my job.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, honey, when you pick me up, can you just come up here and get these boxes? Because I ordered some stuff from Amazon. He's like, oh, okay.
She's always ordering boxes.
I'm always getting boxes from Amazon. Yeah. So we get home and I was like, he's like, well, why haven't you opened your stuff? And I was like, oh, well, can you open it for me? And he goes to open it. He was like, why did you get this? And why did you get that? I said, okay. You have been sitting here for over a year now, pouting about filming. Here's a camera. Here's lights. Here's a background. You have 30 minutes to write a short script. I don't care what it is. And we're going to go film it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, are you serious? I'm like, now you got 29 minutes.
Yeah, you just threw it down.
So he was like, okay. And his first film, his first little short film, some people from our church let us use their house.
Yeah.
And he filmed it that night. And I was like, that's it. You just filmed something. You have a short film now. You can't say that you can't film.
It's called Night Stalker.
It's called Night Stalker, the very first one. And it was crazy.
I mean.
So go ahead.
I had... You were bullied. Experience.
You were bullied.
Yeah, right? Basically.
I had zero experience, and I appreciate them for doing that because, and I obviously appreciate her for doing that too because it pushed me. It made me do it. Mm-hmm, you know, to see where I was then to where I am now. I mean, you guys go on YouTube. It's on YouTube. It's called Night Stalker. It's crap, but I had a ball that night. And it was probably the best experience I've ever had.
Awesome. I watched this afternoon. I watched Noise in the House.
Mm. Oh, there you are.
Did you see? That's the yeah.
House noise.
Yeah. So this lady is sitting in her house. She lives alone.
Yeah.
Apparently, she's talking on the phone. She's about ready to go to bed, and she hears something. And she's like, it's nothing. You know, so then she's kind of like getting ready for bed. So she's walking through the house. She's checking the closet, checking the bathroom, checking different things. Then she keeps hearing it, but it keeps going away. So she crawls in bed. And then she hears her door.
Now, do you really want to tell the whole story or just tell people to go out and check it out?
I'll just let them go check it out. Now, you guys obviously write and film some edgy stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Try to. Do people ever come and they're like, did that come out of your brain? I mean, this is the stuff you think about. Do people like react like that sometimes?
Yeah.
How's that go?
So the funny thing is we're probably just so laid back at home other than tossing ideas back and forth, you know, stuff like that. I will say this. I am a Christian. I do believe in God.
Yes.
Believe that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I'm not forcing that on nobody. It's just me and I'm proud of it. And, but at the same time, I just so happen to like horror films. You know, I do not believe in worshiping anything like that. It's just, I don't know how to explain it. It's just really, I like the tense and I like the
you can creativity. Separate.
Well, and to be fair, exactly. It's like, you know, your faith, whatever it is, is not a template either. Just right. like right. we don't have to stick in some little template about how you write your story or you write your screenplay or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And by a nature, and that's probably why you're a little scared about putting certain things out there is because we have compartmentalized and siloed and made this template. Well, you're a writer, you're this. You're a filmmighter, you're this. You're a Christian, you're this. Yeah. You're this, you know, like we have such, we all have biases.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have perspective.
Right.
But it seems like we've gotten more and more that way. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, well, if this, then you can't do that.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm tired of labels.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And you telling me that because I like to watch horror. I love the creativity of it. I like the be on, right on the edge there. I'm not going to jump off the bridge. I just like to be at the at the edge looking down. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's just horror films. Just I mean, I like all genres. It's just thrillers, cop dramas, true crimes, and things like that. It's
well, they require a reaction.
Yeah,
all of that genre requires a reaction.
Yes,
exactly. I could watch the Hallmark Channel and be just as entertained.
And there's a template to those movies,
Alan, this is where we separate.
Not true.
I cannot watch. Let me make my statement. Then you can debunk it. I cannot watch Hallmark because it's almost all Christmas movies anyway. Year round.
Yes.
And it's like, I cannot watch that and be entertained. Okay. Now you can debunk it.
He will not turn it on there, but if it is on, and I don't tend to watch a lot of TV and stuff, but if it is on and he's sitting there for a minute, within 15 minutes, he's right into the plot and the Bachelor or the Bachelor
already? Kiss her already. Yeah.
He'll be yelling at the TV. It was the Bachelor or the Bachelorette. One of those shows was on one time. We had never watched it, but the finale was on and our girls and some friends were over watching it. And by the time he's in there, he's yelling at the girl. Don't let him do that. He was totally into it. So don't let him tell you.
Now, I'm on your side.
She's narking on me over here.
Because she's the one that watches the Hallmark. Now, neither one of us watch Lifetime.
No.
But she watches the Hallmark Channel because of Murder She Wrote comes on there. And
a variety of other mysteries comes on.
Now, she done got me sitting here watching it because we'll be working on something together, or like I said, we're tossing ideas back and forth and she's watching. So I'm sitting there with her. And honestly, yes, I didn't get into one particular movie. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to be a man to admit it. And it's Aurora Tea Garden. And it's called Bag of Bones. It's something, bones.
I think you like the first one.
Yeah, and it's something about Bones. But anyway, the reason why I liked it, because I'm not paying attention to it. She's talking about whatever, and she's doing something. I'm playing on my phone or computer or something, and she finds a skull in the ground. So I'm like,
oh, yeah, my attention.
You in my world now.
He actually bought that movie for me.
And yes, I did. Well, I bought it for me, but since she has the collection.
There is a movie, and there was a book called Bag of Bones. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was written by Stephen King. Mm-hmm. It's actually one of my favorite.
I think Pierce Brosnan was in it, right? In the movie.
I think so. And it's about an author, actually. Mm-hmm. It's one of the first things that got me thinking about becoming an author. I kind of enjoyed the lifestyle that guy was. I don't live that lifestyle.
I know, right?
Not yet. But, it's like, okay, this is kind of cool. But, it was a creepy story. And it involved somebody digging up a bag of bones.
Right.
Out by the lake or whatever, but that they did make it into a movie. I don't know if it's the same movie or not. But.
Yeah. No, this is Aurora Tea Garden. I can never say her name.
Aurora.
Yeah, Tea Garden. It's a mystery series by what's her name?
Candace Cameron is the Aurora Tea Garden.
Yeah, okay. In it, but now that she left Hallmark now to be with the other people.
The ones in jail or the ones that aren't in jail?
The ones not in jail. That's not in jail. I can't remember the author's name. And watch, it's going to bug me that I can't remember her name because I read the whole series. But it's an actual mystery series. Mm-hmm. And then they start making a movies and kind of meshing some of the books together. And I think it's like 18. I think they said it's like 10 or 18 movies out now with her in it. But then Candace decided to leave Hallmark Channel and she went to the Great Family Channel. So now they're rebooting it, going back to like a younger Tea Garden and younger cast to like bring it back out again. So,
and another reason why I wanted to watch it, I was paying attention because her friend, whatever her friend is named, but she played in Friday the 13th.
She was in Jason X.
Yeah, she was.
So obviously you guys are very supportive and encourage of one another in your creative pursuits. But with a creative pursuit, there is always a little bit of, you need some good criticism and feedback.
I
have no problem doing that.
Doing it. Yeah.
I can relate to you.
Because somebody doesn't like it.
Ask me what I think if you don't want to know, right?
There you go. Exactly.
Yes. I'm very blunt about that.
And I appreciate that too, because it just makes you better. You know,
I'll try to take on that attitude.
I mean, because I'd say I literally, maybe at least two times a day, every day, we'll send her a long thing, say, hey, what do you think about this? And she was like, nope. it's only one. I can't remember which one it was. It was one. She was like, oh my God, you finally did it. I was like, yes. And I think I have an idea. Is it the one where the man bought the house across the street?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But yeah, that's the only one. I mean, I literally at least twice a day, I'm sending her like, what do you think ideas about this? Yeah. And she'll say, nope, that's crap. That's crap.
Yeah. Nope. I don't like it.
And she'll ask me questions why, like, you know, I mean, it's not like she's, excuse my language, pissing on my ideas. It's just that she's saying, you can do better. Mm-hmm. You know, so she'll ask me questions about it.
Is that what you're doing?
See, that's what I'm doing, sweetheart.
Yeah. Yeah.
You do kind of like my new idea, right?
Like your new story. Yeah. Yeah.
But that's good.
I don't know that I'll like the story when I read it, but I do like the concept.
I'm putting my own special twist on it. So we've been actually going for an hour.
Awesome. Oh, wow.
This is fun,
right?
Before we get to the random question boxes, you'll have your options there. You'll have to, like, I don't know, decide between the two of you who gets to pick the question. But why don't you tell the audience where they can find your stuff?
Oh, I'll go first. Well, I'm on social media on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Arthur T.A. Beasley. You can also visit my website. It's tabeasley.com. And my books are on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all the regular places.
Nice. Okay.
And I do have a podcast. It's called A Reader's Book Corner. So that is also out there, too. And if you go to the social medias for A Reader's Book Corner, which is the same on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. There is a link, so you can always pick up the podcast episodes.
Yeah, I saw your most recent episode features our mutual friend, Charles Kelly.
Yes. I just finished his book. Oh, it reminded me so much of, and I forgot to tell him this, it reminded me of Biker Boys, the movie Biker mm-hmm. Boys.
Yeah,
but I was so into it. It had me on the edge of my seat because that guy was freaking me out. I was like, he's going to get caught.
Every time you drop a little note in that trash can, you're like, oh my God,
he's going to get caught. They're going to see him and somebody's going to be, they're going to walk up behind him. They're going to grab him. So I can't wait to read the next book in that series too, because he did leave it on a little bit of a cliffhanger, but it was a good cliffhanger though.
Okay, good.
So I'm excited about that.
So Alan, where do we find your stuff?
So a lot of my short films are on YouTube. Go to youtube.com/AlanWills, F as in Frank, and you'll find my YouTube channel there. My book is on Amazon as well. It's called Make Believe. My podcast is called the Indie Flicks Podcast, where we promote and support indie films. We don't do reviews. We discuss and promote independent films. It may sound like reviews, but we want to support, you know, indie films. Everybody does Hollywood and promote them, but we'd like to promote indie people. Mm-hmm. And it's on all of your outlets, Spotify, Apple, iTunes, stuff like that, Indie Flicks Podcast. And then my socials is Alan Wills on Facebook and Instagram, but Indie Flicks Podcast is Indie Flicks Podcast on Instagram and Facebook as well.
Nice. Mm-hmm. So listeners, you have a lot to look up. A lot of creative indulgency to doing, especially if you like creepy stuff, right?
Yes.
creepy and bloody and
bloody, and murders. If you're into solving murders,
right?
Yeah, you can jump
in. But there is some romance out there too, for those of you of the fainter of heart.
Which is funny because I don't even like to read romance, but I wrote two romance. Doesn't make sense.
And I have an idea for one. I'm not going to write it. I'm pass it off to her and tell her, you know, the idea and everything else, how does the story go? But yeah, I have an idea.
I did write it all down. So,
All right, let's do the random questions.
Okay, we have random questions. We have either some homemade random questions, or we have a deck that provides some thought provoking ones. So which is your poison?
I say go with the homemade.
Homemade.
Yeah.
Okay. Homemade.
Which one of you is going to draw it? She can draw it out.
And then I chose draw it out. Which one, but she can draw it.
Okay.
Read it out loud, and you have to answer it first, but all of us have to answer it.
Okay, so the question is, what movie do you never get tired of watching? Ooh.
This is going to be some question. Different answers.
Ooh, this is different.
Nancy, I bet yours is the birds, right?
No. She's negative. On it.
No. Okay.
I know what she's getting for Christmas.
So my movie that I never get tired of watching would be Identity. Mm-hmm. It is my absolute favorite movie. I could watch it over and over.
Identity.
It's called Identity. It's a psychological thriller.
Imagine that.
It's a psychological thriller about this gentleman that's in prison, but he's up against this board to see if he can get an appeal or just get admitted to a psychiatric hospital. Mm-hmm. But in the movie, all of his personalities are trying to take each other out. So they meet, all his personalities meet at a hotel, and one by one they start dying off.
Oh my goodness.
And the point is, you're trying to find out which one of the personalities is killing off the other personalities. Oh. And when you get to the end, I was like, you have got to be kidding me. It is my absolute favorite movie.
For creepy, that's intriguing.
Yes, that
approach.
Yeah. And I mean, and the kills are like, they're not like really on scene. I don't think any of them are. Yeah, they're like
sometimes
off
that's
scene.
Scarier.
So it's more creepy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But this movie, when you get to the end and you think, oh my God, this is gone. And then you see the ending, you're like, you have got to be kidding. Mm-hmm. It was you. Mm-hmm. So that's my absolute favorite movie.
All right.
So Alan.
Yeah, Alan.
So it's really, really. Oh, Friday the 13th, part 6.
Part six.
Thank God you didn't say Titanic. Oh my God.
So
he's the king of the world.
We don't ever, I know people's going to say this is impossible. We never argue.
Nope.
We never have disagreements because we like really in sync with a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing we disagree with is Titanic.
Yep.
You love it. She hates it.
Ah, anytime it comes on. So I have the VHS, you know, it comes with two,
yeah.
Right? And then I have the DVD, and she's like, just watch it. You got the DVD, just go in there, watch it when you want to and stuff like, whenever it comes on TV, boom, nope, remote. It's not going on no other channel. I don't care what part it's on.
Drives me crazy.
We watching it. And she's like, oh my God.
We have watched that movie. I don't know how many times.
Two lead characters?
Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet.
Yeah, but what's their names in the
Jack and Rose?
Jack and Rose.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes, and he has to see it every time, and I'm like, dude,
Alan, you got to film. You got to film a spoof ending where Rose, you know, she's. Jack's hanging on to the side of that,
that door or he's whatever that is.
Rose, and Rose just looks at him and goes, dunk.
Now that I got the heart off. Of the diamond and I'm away from him, let me just go ahead and push you.
Let's just push you off.
You're not going to make it.
I don't need no guy in my life.
I'm true independent woman.
You are now, right?
Right. Well, yeah. Oh, the reason why it's Friday the 13th, part 6 is because that's the beginning of the adult version of Tommy Jarvis. I just really like that one a lot. I think it's the kills was awesome. The story is awesome. Friday the 13th obviously is my favorite series, but it's just something about part 6.
Number 6.
Yeah. Part five is an abomination, but because it's Friday the 13th, I still watch it.
Tolerate it. Well, Mike,
you got me again. We always race to see who's going to make the first person answer first.
Yeah.
Do you have a movie?
I have a movie that I never get tired of watching, and I don't go out of my way to watch it much, but it's like what you said on both Titanic. If mm-hmm. I'm scrolling through channels and I come across this movie, it's going to stop there. I don't care if it's the beginning of the movie, the middle, or the end. It's going to stop there, and I'm going to watch it. And that's The Outlaw Josie Wales. I just love that Clint Eastwood flick.
Yeah.
And I love that movie. And I think it's
I've seen it in a way.
Just an exciting, kind of funny, kind of Western drama that, man, it just, it does it for me. I love that movie.
I mean, any Clint Eastwood movie.
Though. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we could do a whole podcast on Clint Eastwood movies, right?
Right.
So,
that cowboy shot, man.
Yeah, you know, he did some great cowboy movies. He did some great detective movies, Dirty Harry series.
Yeah.
I gotta be honest with you. When I was like a kid, I was taken to see Dirty Harry at the theater.
Nice.
Way too young. Uh-oh. Thank you, my sister. So my sister was 17 when I was born. Yeah. And so when she was in her mid-20s and I was like 7, 8 years old, she's taking me to see the movies.
Word.
We won't go into all of those.
Good job, sister.
But yeah, I think Outlaw Josey Wales. Mm-hmm. I get the same thing. Like if I come across the movie Unforgiven, you know, I'm going to watch that too. And then every year we have to watch It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
So, movie.
Yeah. I love that movie.
Man. When I was younger, I used to watch it every Christmas. But now, as an adult.
And that's what I was going to say, too. Only because they play it all day, every day. Dang. That's when I watch it.
Go out your way to watch It's a Wonderful
Life. Yeah. Not like on, you know, Tuesday in the middle of June, you know, no. But Christmas. Gotta watch it.
Yeah, gotta watch it.
But I'm not only going to watch it once. I'm not going to sit there and watch it.
Watch it. It's like they play it and it goes off and then it comes on again.
That's a Christmas story. Yeah. They do that with a Christmas story.
They do,
Christmas story does that. It's like 24 hours of a Christmas story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, it took me years to see the entire Christmas story movie.
Mike, I think we didn't need to do a horror version of It's a Wonderful
Life. Oh, you know, there was an SNL spoof of the
end. Yeah, that was.
But you know, that would be fun. Can I be the rich old dude?
Potter. Mr. Potter. Yeah, Mr. Potter. There's your role that you said you wanted. There's your role.
I'll be Mr. Potter. Yeah. George Bailey.
Get him fired so then he'd come back and kill
Merry him. Christmas to you too. In jail.
See, now since you're that guy, you have to get killed though, because that's the horror film rule. Yeah,
I can't be in one of your movies if I don't get killed.
Yeah.
Unless I'm the killer. You know, then I could get away with you. Okay. You either gotta be the killer or get killed. Because that's the only outcome in Alan Will's movies. Right.
There's no middle ground.
Nope.
All right. Nancy.
Yes.
And she has this big cheese on her face.
So I'll share two.
And the birds is not one of them.
No. But since you guys are kind of into the creepy stuff, one of my all-time favorite movies favorite movie quote of all time is A Bend in the River.
Oh.
And Jimmy Stewart in it, you know, some guys take his horse and his stuff and go away. And his quote to the bad guys, it's like a Western, is, "You'll be seeing me. You'll be seeing me. Every time you bed down for the night, you'll look back to the darkness and wonder if I'm there. And some night I will be. You'll be seeing me."
That's an awesome quote.
Isn't that an awesome quote?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So that's awesome quote. I was like, that one's
easy. I have to admit that movie also,
those classic Westerns.
If I come across it, it stays on too. That's
yeah, yeah.
Like
that.
But all-time favorite movie. I'm the odd one here in the group. Gene Wilder's version of Willy Wonka. You know, all the stories, the life lessons, the magicalness of all of it. All-time favorite movie.
Alan.
Oh yeah.
Imagine what you could do with that.
Yeah. Don't mess up.
Look, don't mess it up.
Come on. Charlie's got to win that factory.
Johnny Depp, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
I enjoyed that version as well.
With Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
So I feel you on that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So. And I like Wilder. I just him as an actor.
Yeah. Stir Crazy.
Yes.
Young Frankenstein was on recent library, and I was like, oh my gosh.
Yes.
Yes.
All right, folks. I think we need to probably wind this episode down. So, Alan, Teresa, thank you for being a guest today.
Thank you for having us. This was a fun.
Really appreciate it.
Listeners out there, I hope you enjoyed this.
And check out their stuff.
Yeah, look up their look up Alan's movies. Check out Teresa's books and give them a little bit of love. Word. So thank you for listening in on this episode of the Cutter's Notch podcast. And we will catch you next time when we come out with another invasion of your space.
And creative ideas, people, and pursuits.
There you go. Take care, folks.
The Cutter's Notch podcast is available through most podcast listing providers. New episodes drop approximately twice a month. You can email Michael at authormichaeldecamp@gmail.com. Michael DeCamp is the author of two novels, Abandoned Hope, Cutter's Notch Book 1, and Nozomi's Battle, Cutter's Notch Book 2, a collection of short stories entitled Cutter's Notch Interludes, and one nonfiction Christian devotional book entitled Loving Out Loud, Learning to Love in a Hate-Filled World. All books can be found on Amazon or ordered from your local bookseller. Please join us again on the next episode of the Cutter's Notch podcast.